Hi, welcome to the Black Girl Podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of Black Girl in the CLE. I'll be talking about local events and places to visit in the greater Cleveland area, as well as talking to the people that help make Cleveland an enjoyable place to live, work, and play. In this episode, I will be talking with my favorite tech diva, Denise Williams, who is also my chief technology architect over at Be Ready, and also my co-host for the podcast 216 Jams. We're going to talk about the recent Blackland conference that took place at the Huntington Convention Center here in Cleveland, December 1st through the 4th. Welcome to the Black Girl Podcast, Denise.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we got the very cool experience recently to go to Blackland Cleveland a few days ago. And just overall, what did you think?
It was very exciting just to be a part of this conference with this very new and innovative technology that's coming.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Blackland Cleveland was a conference. I guess it's a conference that goes a lot of other places because I know there's one in Toronto. But Blackland is the conference about blockchain, which is a technology that is coming to everywhere, a computer near you,
true,
so to say. And so I wrote a post. I know you wrote a post for Black Girl in the CLE,
yes,
about just trying to introduce people to blockchain. That's a lot of blocks. Black Girl, blockchain, yes. Blackland. It's a bit much. But just trying to introduce people to it. And you know, for me, it's just really so today I just want to talk about the conference and the learning and the growth and the potential and all those things that I know you and I have had a lot of conversations offline to talk about it, but we haven't really necessarily told the whole story, I don't think, for me at least, in the post.
Yeah, definitely.
So a quick Google of Blackland, which was my first question, like where did it come from? You get Legos. Blackland, you want to build a game, you want to do this with Lego. So Blackland, I don't know if it's a great namesake, but it is not Legos, the actual Lego building block. It is a conference and a lot of discussions on blockchain technology, which is going to be kind of the underpinnings of how the internet is done, right?
True.
So in my introduction, I said that you are my tech diva and chief tech architect. So mm-hmm. Denise is helping me unpack my learning as I go, just trying to make sure that I understand all these things so that I can talk about them and not sound foolish when I talk to other people. So we arrived at the conference and we were media sponsors, and so we were glad to be able to attend. But yes, the first thing that got me about blockchain was the sticker price.
Quite an expensive conference to attend.
It was. And so I believe the whole conference, pre-conference and the full conference, was about $1,000 a person.
Yes.
And many people were lucky enough that they were sent by their jobs. Mm-hmm. So I saw a lot of people that were there. You know, Jumpstart was there. Folks from Destination Cleveland were there. And who also helped put it together? Key Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks like that. So I think one of the questions that a lot of people had for each other is, how did you get here?
Correct.
Or who sponsored you to come? Which I'm not even used to that word, who sponsored you to come. But, you know, for your average person and even your small business owner like myself, you know, spending $1,000, while it is worth it, may not be an easy thing to do.
True.
So, I know you went to the pre-conference more so than I did, because mm-hmm. I was covering Circle Fest the same weekend. So, tell me about the pre-conference. Who was it geared to? What did you take away? Anything you learned? Those kind of things.
Sure. So, the pre-conference were basically the first 2 days over the weekend, so Saturday and Sunday. And it really was geared toward the developer audience. These 2 days, maybe a day and a half, was sponsored by the Unify Project, which is a new up-and-coming startup that will be using blockchain technology here in Cleveland. Basically to help developers learn and get some of the pieces and parts of blockchain. So it was set up amongst three different learning lessons or learning opportunities. One with, consensus, IBM, and ChromaWay. So these were the three opportunities that were available to learn about blockchain technology. And when I say learn, I mean, you know, the basic kind of overview, but then the actual coding aspect of, you know, getting to a GitHub repository and being able to lay hands, so to speak, on the actual code. Also, Microsoft did a introductory kind of experiential education piece where they talked about their new platform under Azure, where you can actually build blockchain applications and do smart contracts without ever writing a single line of code. They offered, I think, 200 credits for Azure. So just a great way to get people started, even if you are not a technologist or a developer. There was also a developer night. We went out to Pickwick and Frolic so we could mingle, you know, have drinks and have more conversation and kind of network. And then a Cavs game. It was Cavs versus Toronto that evening. So pretty great experience.
So tell me this. If you're not a developer, you're not a coder, you're not a so-called tech person, would you be able to use Azure or would it just be overwhelming? Like, is that an entry point to understanding and starting to become one of these people? Or you still need more background basics to even get started with that credit? Because I have a credit, but, you know.
I think you want to have an idea in mind. You wouldn't be bombarded by the technical pieces of it. So if you are a business or you are interested or have an idea, it'd be easier. It's much more, you know, user-friendly, so to speak. So you have more of a graphical interface where you just, you know, click and drop type of things. Whereas, you know, with developers, we have to know a whole language and we have to type things out specifically. So I would definitely want to come with an idea in hand as far as how you want to utilize it. But I think, you know, after knowing a little bit about blockchain and the usage, I would start there, and having a clear idea that you want to implement, it would be pretty simple to use Azure.
So one of the things from the conference, not knowing much about blockchain technology, is this name Bernie Moreno. Mm-hmm. And even you're like, okay, Bernie was going to be there. Bernie, everybody seems to be on a first name with Bernie. Who is Bernie? I mean, I heard from him, but who is Bernie?
So Bernie Moreno is a local here who's had a dealership selling cars, who decided to get into the blockchain business. So this conference, this whole event was basically, he spearheaded this initiative within Cleveland. I think when he started hearing about blockchain, he knew that this would be a great, you know, economic driver, initiative for jobs, a great way to get more entrepreneurs and people to really uplift and build up Cleveland to be this kind of innovation hub. So he did a lot of the legwork. I mean, he went up to Canada and talked with Don and Alex Tapscott to learn more about blockchain, and then decided, you know, he was going to put this conference on in like just 4 months. I mean, it was a quick turnaround.
Right.
So obviously a very driven businessman.
Right. And one of the things I think, like you said, the 4 months was amazing. And I spoke with people from Destination Cleveland who helped put this together, and the one lady said, you know, this is not really what Destination Cleveland does, but they were working at a breakneck pace basically, mm-hmm, to get this done in I think 4 to 5 months. And when you think about how long conferences take to plan, I mean, I know that like the All-Star Game is coming to Cleveland this summer. A lot of these conferences, they take years to plan, so to be able to turn this around in 4 months, you know, it was pretty much amazing. I think, mm-hmm, if you look close enough, you could probably see, like, yeah, that's how that happened in 4 months, as opposed to having this much diversity or this,
right,
many speakers from this many places. But, you know, hats off to Destination Cleveland and Bernie. You know, I love an entrepreneur that sees something and implements it. I mean,
yes,
that we're speaking the same language. So let's talk about, though, this idea of Cleveland becoming the block hub.
Mm-hmm.
Blockchain hub, or what I've been taught, you know, they're saying, like, my post was called Cleveland to Blockland.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know speakers were saying, you know, we've got hubs here on the East Coast in New York, we're based in San Francisco, we need something in the middle, why not Blockland, Cleveland? So what is that going to do, or what's the idea of being a hub going to do for people and citizens?
I believe the hopes is that we can train up another level of workforce. So this is another added skill to get people, you know, in the community and abound to come to Cleveland. If we are, you know, pushing the blockchain agenda and pushing learning that skill set and building businesses around that and doing also the social justice piece, how can we use this to uplift our communities and help our communities thrive? I think that's really the aim. So part of it is workforce, to build up a workforce, too, to give this infrastructure, because blockchain is still very new. I mean, it's only about 10 years old, which is still a very infancy when you talk about technology. But this allows for Cleveland to be at the forefront of innovation and creating things and just bringing, I would say, more money and more people to Cleveland as a whole.
So I know we've talked offline about people coming to Cleveland for this technology and the businesses that are going to sprout up. But a lot of people are coming from the Silicon Valleys or where have you to be here and invest and make the block land hub, so to speak, here in Cleveland. What will that do? I guess the question is, how do us residents in Northeast Ohioans, get started with like being part of this? Because it's so easy for, you know, executive from California to fly in, set up shop, and then bring all his workers. And I know, especially with Amazon, they're talking about that in New York. They're not bringing jobs to Amazon. They're bringing people to fill the jobs.
Right.
And then what's going to be left is the low income or the low income jobs. Mm-hmm. So what can Clevelanders do now knowing that this information and this stuff is coming?
So definitely be proactive. This is not a reactive type of thing. You don't want to wait till, you know, we're well past the early adopter, you know, early innovator stage to just be learning. So definitely start your learning journey, learning about what blockchain is and some of the uses or use cases to understand how the technology can be applied. Now, you may not be interested in being a developer, which is perfectly okay, but you still you still might have a great idea that you can come together with developers or technologists in order to implement. So I would say start there. So start with the learning. So Don and Alex have a great book called Blockchain Revolution. There's plenty of resources out on the internet. So I believe Nova has a small like clip about what is blockchain. There's TED Talks. There's all types of things. So I would say just start there. Start with the learning. Also, this is repetitive in nature. You need to listen and hear about this technology multiple times to get it ingrained. Anything with technology, I come from the adage of, you know, being a person who works in technology and understands technology, you have to kind of immerse yourself in it to be able to understand it. So listening to it, writing it, watching it, the more you do, the more you'll understand. So I think from a community or a person who's in the community, if you can get that, you will be able to solve or have solutions to some of your community problems. You might not be able to build it, but you would be able to instruct people on what the, you know, kind of that subject matter expertise in order to build.
Yeah, and I think the other piece is, you know, you've got to figure out where you want to fit in with this. So, you know, the guy I keep calling AT&T guy.
John Donovan.
And it's in the blog. So, you know, but that's what Denise and I have talked. I'm like, oh, AT&T guy. His keynote, don't let that take away from, like, that was probably the most impactful session, that keynote or fireside chat for me. He said, basically, don't opt out of the conversation. And if you think about how many times as Black people, as women, we dismiss ourselves as, I'm not this person. Oh, I'm not this guy. Oh, I'm not in the good old boys club, or I'm not in this network. And really, we may not be, but it's not that you can't get in. And so the idea of opting out by just using the word choices we say really stuck with me. So he would say, like, don't say I'm not a tech person, because if you go in there saying I'm not a tech person, as you go through this conference day to day, you're not going to be receiving as much as opposed to I'm trying to be or I'm learning to be the tech person. So I thought that was super informative. But on the other side of that, maybe you have no plans to ever be a tech person. You don't want to be on this conversation. You don't want to create. You don't want to innovate. That's fine. You just want to know, like, what does this mean for me? And I think the takeaway that I got out of this was that it's going to change the way we do business. So just like, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, you know, we didn't Amazon like we do now. Nope. The idea of ordering your groceries online, even a few years ago, seemed ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So it's not that technology hasn't changed. We still had to become a part of it. And if you think about, like, your early adapters, so my parallel is that when I first got on Facebook, which Facebook just told me it was like 10 years ago this week, apparently, I thought I was late to Facebook. So I held out, like, I'm not doing this Facebook. I didn't MySpace before. Mm-hmm. I had no social media. Like, I just thought that was what the kids do. It wasn't going to last because MySpace didn't last. Mm-hmm. And your top five and your hits. And, like, it just wasn't what I was doing. My younger brother, who's about 10 years younger than me, he was MySpacing. He was doing all those things, live wires and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I got on Facebook 10 years later, when I got on Facebook 10 years ago, I thought I was late to the party. So now when you fast forward and you see people that are still not on Facebook and it's still not on any kind of social media, like, I look at my aunts and my uncles and things like that, people like that. Part of it, yes, social media is social media, and a lot of it is stuff that you could go without seeing. But oftentimes, you miss the news stories and you miss what's happening immediately because you're not connected.
Right.
So the idea that, yeah, I'm not going to adapt to Facebook, yes, but realize that you're still waiting for the 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock news, where Facebook, somebody could be actually live streaming what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, something's happening in New York, someone's probably got a camera and they're on Facebook Live, Instagram Live, Twitter, or whatever, Snapchat, whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know, you find out the next morning. Like, this, it's the same old news cycle. So I think with blockchain, for me, my takeaway was to learn it, learn more about it, because it's going to affect me.
It's true.
Right? So, let's talk about the sessions. What sessions were the most helpful or impactful or interesting to you?
Well, the roadmap for success and as a tech startup was definitely very influential for me. They had some very key information as far as, like, companies like Jumpstart to help you on your journey if you're considering being an entrepreneur, as far as free resources, but then also some of the programming that they have to help people get started in this space. Oftentimes when people are entrepreneurs, at least from a tech perspective, most time they're not technical founders. They're usually, you know, more of the business side or the idea. So that can be tough, but Jumpstart and companies like it, or people who are trying to do things in the same type of space, are trying to help people. So if you still have a tech idea, to be able to pair you with people who can help you, you know, implement and get that push out there. I also realized that I'm kind of I hate to use the phrase unicorn, because I happen to be a technical person and I have an MBA.
Tell us what that means.
So a unicorn basically is just somebody who has all these skills or all, you know, a bunch of different skills that typically you don't find. You see it a lot in job postings where people will post for a job. I want someone with data skills. I want someone who can develop. I want someone who can design. I also want you to do process improvement. When you start to see postings like that, most of us, definitely in the tech community, we call those unicorns, because the likelihood that you're going to get someone with that varied a skill set is just, it's rare. And that's why we call them unicorns, because, I mean, we know unicorns are considered a very rare, even if they even do exist, you know, type of mythical creature. But yeah, so a lot of times that's what we call ourselves in the tech community. If we are people who have these kind of varied skill set, which I'm one of those people who do. And I typically, you know, get that when people look at my resume or my LinkedIn. They go, oh, she's exceptional. Oh, she's amazing. Oh, she has all these different skills. I can't believe all the things you've done. But, you know, that's the thing. When you talk about technology, you don't want to be everywhere. So So let's be honest. You do want to have strengths. Like, my strengths are data. So that's really where my strengths lie. I can build a website. I can build an application. I can do those things. But my strength is really in the data. So from, you know, data understanding where data is brought in, to how you build around data, to how you actually analyze data. That's really my strong suit.
So let's switch gears and talk about cryptocurrency, because that was another an underlying piece of blockchain, Blockland, and just it fits into this. And that's probably another way that people can get into or start to understand the technology. So we were lucky enough to get a free cryptocurrency from Jumpstart, and I can't remember who they were partnering with. And I think it's not a lot, so it was like $2 or something if you had the card. But what was really cool is for me that it helped me understand cryptocurrency. And so my parallel is, if you think about your PayPals, your Cash Apps, your Venmos, all those things that we do where we pay person to person, it's the idea of not cashing it out or not connecting it to your bank account to me. That's my parallel. So I might Cash App Denise or PayPal Denise $20. And I actually PayPal'd the bill yesterday. And so since I was pulling from the money I had already had in PayPal, of course, there was no fee. Mm-hmm. And so that was probably like the perfect example of cryptocurrency for me. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I kept hearing about, and then I saw a friend's Facebook post which said the contrary, was like, yeah, Bitcoin is about to jump off again. Invest in Bitcoin, invest in Bitcoin. And I think we all have heard or saw how Bitcoin kind of blew up this summer, like in a good way. Like, it was worth a lot. And now I think it's like either $30,000 or $3,000. It's fallen. But the takeaway at the conference that I got was Bitcoin was the original. They said it's like the Nokia phone or the first smartish phone.
Correct.
And so if that's the case, you know, why would I run to $3,000 or $30,000 Bitcoin when, you know, it's like me saying, hey, it's still time to get up on this VCR craze. Right now it's super low. Come buy VCR tapes. And we all know that VCR tapes ain't coming back. Bitcoin might jump off because it was the first, but, you know, the way technology rolls, it seems like you want to be on the next wave. And there's a lot of next waves out there, it seems like, right?
Correct. So with Bitcoin, Bitcoin was basically, you know, a trial usage of the technology blockchain. So when we talk about Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, just think digital currency. I don't have cash in my hand. I have a virtual wallet, so to speak, which has virtual money in it. Now, you would think, oh, well, virtual money, is that worth anything? Well, yes, because it's usually backed by United States dollars or something else.
Or whatever dollars. So that's the other thing.
It can be dollars or it can be value. It doesn't necessarily have to equate necessarily to money, actual money. It could be value in particular things. So if I'm saying, you know, two coins, whatever I've named them, Denise coins, is worth a free consultation, or it's not free, a consultation with me, that's the value. So basically, it's a transference of value in anything you can think, but digital. So I don't have to carry around a card. I don't have to carry money. My wallet is typically on my phone, no different than most bank apps. You know, you have an application to be able to look at how much money you actually have in your bank account. I can do business right inside of my internet browser. It's going to really change the way we do business on the internet.
Or your cell phone.
On your cell phone. How you keep money. So there's a difference. So the investing piece, a lot of people are investing in Bitcoin and other coin offerings, or we call them ICOs, initial coin offerings. So when you're basically saying, I want to create this digital currency to have this particular value.
So Bitcoin is there, but there's others coming. And the other problem, or the other point of contention, was like, I got $2 in cryptocurrency.
And you was happy.
I am happy. And I'm telling everybody, like, I got $2 in crypto. I can't do anything with it because
I need more places to take it.
Correct.
And so in Cleveland, I know that there are places that are starting to take cryptocurrency. So Waverly Willis was there from Urban Cuts Barbershop, who I just adore all of his story and all the great things he's done. He accepts cryptocurrency. And I was wondering in the beginning, like, why are you, this barbershop, I think it's in Parma, and there's one maybe in old Brooklyn or something. Like, you know, is there crypto cash, cryptocurrency floating around there? Like, who's spending this kind of money? But then also the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, no, the Cleveland Museum of Art is taking cryptocurrency and some other places. Mm-hmm. So they're all in BitPay, which, you know, I'm still learning. But either way, I got $2, and that's not enough to spend anywhere. So I'm going to have to get me another $2. But otherwise, it's just sitting there. So I like the idea of it. It's a great way to start learning about how things work in my mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, cryptocurrency is coming, and it's just kind of cool to see what's happening with money. And if you travel international or if you order international, like I like to go over to Canada since we're not too far away. Mm-hmm. The idea of changing my money from Cleveland dollars to Canadian dollars and then remembering to change it back gets a little bit whatever. Or when you go visit, like my kids have gone to England and different countries, and you know, you need those traveler's checks, and they got to cash in the traveler's check. Like, cryptocurrency avoids all that. You just have it. And if you need to make it into French pounds, or mean English pounds, or French francs, or whatever that is, crypto can translate, or you can just pay directly in crypto. Some other sessions that I thought were important or useful were the how to, like, what's blockchain going to affect? And it sounds like, you know, your food, the way you buy a house, the way we do business. And so when you think about how do you do business, personal business, buying a car, buying a house, even getting cars repossessed is going to be changed and done a little differently with blockchain technology. The block lands and the blockchains are totally tripping me up today. It is. And they are blocks. So blocks of information connected with code, which are the chains holding together. So that's how you get the blocks and the chains to make blockchain. The other thing was the diversity aspect. And of course, here at Black Girl and CLE, I'm always on the, is this for us? Do we feel comfortable there? I did not feel comfortable there. Like, I had a good time. Mm-hmm. I was pleasantly surprised with the amount of Black women, men and women I saw there. But again, a lot of them were sent there by their businesses. So I'm here because I work at KeyBank and KeyBank has a booth. I'm here because I'm at Jumpstart and Jumpstart has a booth. But I was still surprised at people that had heard about it and wanted to learn more about it. So there was no one sitting there like, ooh, I have it all figured out. But there was also no one sitting there like, I'm just here because my job sent me. Most people had a personal idea or a personal project that they wanted to figure out a little more about that. And that's what I like to see. I know that we disagree on that because you're like, there should be more diversity.
Well, as a technologist, as a data scientist, whatever title I'm going at for that particular day,
you I called tend you tech to see, diva today.
I know, right? So and tech diva. I received that. I would say it's always difficult when you attend tech functions or be in the tech space as a person of color. So I can definitely attest to on the first 2 days for their pre-conference, there was a very small amount of people of color and even smaller when it comes to women of color. So you'll see typically a little more men of color, but even then it's still not as many as you would expect, especially, you know, coming from a place like Cleveland, which is such a huge, you know, hub to a lot of different places. And a lot of people work here in this space. But yeah, I would love to see more people who look like me because I feel like a lot of the communities in Cleveland are full of people who look like me. And those are the people who really need the solutions and need the, you know, the innovative ideas that are going to come from blockchain. So they need to be in the room.
And I think the thing that my other takeaway about diversity was the word people of color, because people of color, I get it, but people of color mean all colors. So there were a lot of people of color, maybe of Indian descent or Asian descent. And so when they talk about, let's broaden diversity, let's have more people of color in the room, that didn't necessarily mean African Americans.
No.
And so let's be more inclusive. That might have just meant women. And so, you know, one of the things that I took away from this conference was to be intentional. So if I want to say people of color, yes, people of color, Hispanics, whoever you are, black people, everyone. Mm-hmm. But if I want to say, if I want African-American women, I can't say women of color because that can be anything.
It becomes very misconstrued.
All kind of stuff. And so when it comes to word choices, when it comes to funding, when it comes to numbers, the question is, are you getting your diversity because you laid that broad stroke? So I know a school here in Cleveland that their diversity numbers are decent, the mm-hmm. private school. But diversity doesn't mean black people.
Mm, it's true.
So they're like, look how diverse we are. We're 24%, you know, other. In diversity. Right. But then you might only have one or two black people. But when true. We as black people hear diversity, we're like, oh, that means us. It don't always mean us.
It doesn't.
So I think, you know, for me, with this conference and a lot of other spaces, we've got to be intentional and not scared to say, like, this is black women or black men were not there or, you know, this is a Hispanic thing, mm-hmm. Latino, Latina, those kind of things, because people of color is such a broad stroke that
it
I
is.
Think the mainstream is able to get away with more because, you know, let's put some people of color in gifted programs. Well, you can put a lot of Asians in that and, you know, stereotypically, so mm-hmm. overgeneralizing, so don't write letters, or you can, but whatever, you know, they are smart.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a lot of Asians in your program for gifted kids, hey, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the African-Americans of color, African-Americans that aren't getting into these programs? So I think for me, the takeaway, which was an unintended takeaway, was to be specific with the language when we talk about diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying African-Americans? Are we saying Jewish-Americans? Are we saying, you know, Indian-Americans, Native-Americans, any of that? Because everybody's got, you know, most of us are people of color.
True.
You know, if you're not a white person, you are a person of color.
So
how many people is that?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to just really, that was my takeaway. But the other thing is, for the creative, I was super excited. I was learning how voting was going to change. I was learning how I can create new things and apps and how the music industry is going to be protected, which is a conversation we can have on 216 Jams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got some ideas for 216 Jams. But even like the Rock Hall vote, and there's a company here called Votum, which is trying to change the way we vote. Because the idea of, we stand in line a lot of times to do a lot of things here in America, in Cleveland, because that's how we used to do it.
Right.
We don't probably need to stand in line all this time anymore because we have secure systems. So we can bank and we trust our money. And that was a word we heard a lot. Trust.
Trust,
trust, trust, trust, trust, trust, an ecosystem. We can bank. And I trust my money and I don't have to necessarily stand in a bank. Why can I not go do some other things that are as important, but they don't seem as important?
Mm-hmm.
So to go pick up my car title or to change something or to get whatever, I shouldn't have to make the trip into the city or downtown or
right.
whatever, stand in line and wait for someone just because I got to show my ID.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what was exciting with blockchain, is that those things are going to be changing.
Right.
You know, how do you do social services? So I remember there was a time where if you wanted to get like the WIC or what is that?
SNAP
or food stamps or whatever you call it, and you had to go down someplace.
True.
And, you know, because I have elderly relatives and they wanted to get the health Medicaid and you mm-hmm. had to go and sit.
Right.
So I just recently found out, like, you have an option to do stuff online now.
Which is really helpful.
It is helpful, but look how long it took. I mean, we've been doing online stuff for those that are not requiring these services for mm-hmm. a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the sessions that talked about how the public sector or the government structure moves a little slower.
Yeah, they're very late adopters.
And I get that. But the idea that if you've ever been to get your license plates on a Saturday, that line is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
'cause
most people work during the week.
Right, or even the voting. We take off on a Tuesday, we stand in line, we gotta try to time it. Maybe your boss is tripping, you can't be late. So we have early voting, so you have
mm-hmm.
to come down here in Cleveland, you have to come downtown to the Board of Elections.
Right.
We do it, but what if there is a better way? And that's what I kind of like about the idea of blockchain, is that we're starting to explore the, why are we still doing it this way?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a better way?
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that, you know, we're still using Scantron bubble sheets to vote.
This is true.
Now, I remember we went tech and that had its own glitches, so I get that. But, you know, we have to just keep trying to figure out what it is. And so, you know, for me, the takeaways were, number one, not to say I'm not a tech person. I'm just a tech person in training.
You're tech literate.
I'm trying to be.
That's what I always
feel. I'm a tech pre-literate, or, you know,
if you start early to reader. Understand how to utilize tech and how it works, because that's the first really, you know, part, understanding terminology, understanding how things go together, you get that tech literate piece. Now, you may not necessarily be a tech practitioner. That's a difference.
Absolutely not.
But understanding how tech works is just as important. It's the starting.
Right. Or for me, also just accepting. So I, like, you know, you've heard me say, I don't need to know how Facebook works or Instagram. We all see the algorithm changed. Right. Okay, I don't understand it. If you showed it to me, I probably wouldn't be able to find the change. I just need to know how it affects me and what I need to do. So so that was my takeaway. Don't opt out. Be open to change and to be consistently learning and to find ways to be at the table early on. So one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast was because I thought that us as Black people and as Black women are often late to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So all this thing's going to change the world. Everybody's going to build. Everybody's going to have money. Everybody's going to grow these businesses. And then we become the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
What if you wanted to engage earlier? Or said, dang, I wish I had known.
Right.
And so we have these people like, oh, well, buy Bitcoin. Well, you're still telling us 10 years late. It's 10 years late. So I'm not saying go buy anything, but figure out what that is. Figure out what the buzzes are that people are talking about. And that's where you dive in and start learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my takeaway. And that's what I learned from this conference. I mean, this conference overwhelmed me. It was a lot to process.
Mm-hmm.
I think I grew, like, not height-wise, but actually as a person in my learning and, as you said, my tech literacy.
Yes.
But what were your takeaways?
Let's see. My takeaways, I think some of them are very personal, as far as I often, you know, go through the imposter syndrome. I don't know enough. Am I qualified to be in this room? And I found myself, even though I'm still in the early learning stages of learning about blockchain, I felt very empowered during this conference that I knew a lot more than I really thought I knew. About blockchain and being able to speak intelligibly about it. Also, I would say takeaways, just so many sectors that are going to be affected by this. So whether it's government, banking, healthcare, art, there's so many great uses. Also, just the social justice piece. I'm big on social justice. I'm big on, you know, ethics. So ethical behavior and how we build solutions. Do we have not only diversity, you know, when we talk about race and ethnicity, but diversity of thought? Because too many times you have a lot of people in the room that all think alike, that whole groupthink mentality.
Right.
So yeah, and I would say, you know, I have my thoughts about the workforce piece. I really want to see the changes in HR. I want to see changes in HR practices. So I hope that Blacklands ends up speaking to that. They kind of said that they are, to make sure people can get hired in these roles or the new training that they're doing in blockchain.
Perfect. So I am going to wrap up. I thank you for coming. It was, like I said, I had a good time.
You are welcome. It was fun.
I had a lot of fun. A lot of learning, a lot of fun. I learned that there are goats. Are those goats?
Yeah, right
outside
goats.
The convention center by the Amtrak.
It was a whole like, little farm area. Right outside the window at the Huntington Convention Center.
Yeah, so we'll throw that picture up. I think I still have the picture up. If we have it, I'll throw it up in the blog notes so you can see that I'm not making that up. A little downtown urban farm. And, you know, it was number one, I like to be in a space where I can learn something. I also like to figure out, like I said, how can I help our community by what I'm learning? And that's how I kind of choose what I'm learning.
Right.
Because we often say we're about empowering others. But, you know, while Black Girl also is a business, you know, we're not solely about, like, let me just make some coins real quick. Boom, I got this. You know, I want to make sure that other people can sit at the table. We all eat. There's enough room for all of us to sit at this table and eat. Mm-hmm. And right now, the blockchain table has not been set. And there's times that we can sit down and we can all eat.
Right.
So for me, it was just about, like, let's set this table and let's, like, have this blockchain feast amongst ourselves and everybody. Just Cleveland. You know, I want Cleveland to thrive. Let's make it a hub. But let's make sure that we're not at the end of the chain and getting the basic jobs.
Sure.
So thank you for listening to this episode of the Black Girl Podcast. Denise is here. She's got a new podcast. You want to check her out called Ripple Effect Tech, where she's going to talk more about tech. And of course, we are on 216 Jams, where we talk about hip hop and R&B from the old school fan perspective. So you can check us out on, I think both of those will probably be, I know they're on Anchor. 216 Jams is on Spotify, and just follow all of our stuff. And of course, check out the blog, blackgirlincle.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.